Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand and the Mighty One calling on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any witness?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fist, and said, "Prophecy." And the guards took him and beat him.
Thank you, Tina. Well, we are in the midst of our Cradle to the Cross series, and we're not looking at one specific event in this progression of Jesus being born to where he was died and resurrected. But we're taking maybe a little time out or hiatus, and we're looking at the question of who is Jesus. We're following his life, we're following the trajectory of where he started and where he finished and where he's at now. But this morning we're going to take a little time out, and we're still looking at the cradle to the cross, but we need to examine who is this person that we're following? Who is this man that walked the earth a couple thousand years ago that we're taking so much time to follow his life step by step now? So this morning that's what we're going to be looking at is who is Jesus, or who was Jesus? So there's three simple things that we want to cover this morning. We want to look at this question of some of the answers to this question is, who is Jesus? What answers have people given? And then we want to know, how do we know that the answers are true? How do we know that what people say about Jesus is true? And then lastly, we want to say, okay, what does all this mean? If we know it's true and we know what he says, what's that mean? So that's where we want to cover this morning. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we know this question of who is Jesus, who are you, is one of the most important questions that all of us need to answer for ourselves, that all of us need to ask that question, and we need to understand what the response means. And so, Lord, this morning as we examine this, as we look at some responses and we look at some other people's approach to this, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would stir amongst all of us individually so that we can't just agree to what other people have said, but say, yes, that is my response as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's easy to find a lot of answers to this question of who is Jesus. And what I did is I pulled out our trusty Mennonite Confession of Faith. So Crown Hill is a member of the Mennonite Church. And the Mennonite Church, through, I think it was 1995, all the best and brightest, I guess, I don't know who it was, but got together and wrote the Confession of Faith. This is what Mennonites, as of 1995, believe. And so these are the things, and it's an article, and if you've never flipped through it, I'd encourage you to flip through it. It's important to at least recognize what the broader church says is our beliefs, whether or not we attest to all of them ourselves individually or as a church. That's a different matter, but we should be familiar at least with what our denomination is saying. And so this list up here, and the answer to this question of who is Jesus, these are all the different things that come out in the article talking about Jesus Christ. And so there's a lot of different things up there. The simple question, who is Jesus? There's a lot of different answers. And the first one, and I'm guessing, I said this comes from the Mennonite Confession of Faith. All of these things are Christian. I mean, this is not, there's nothing specifically Mennonite within these answers. And I would say this is true just about all Christian denominations. You're not going to see much variance in what they see as Jesus. I mean, if someone's Christian, if there's a Christian denomination, this is pretty much orthodox. Orthodox meaning this is what everyone believes. And so these are the answers that Christianity for the last 2,000 years have given to this question is, who is Jesus? Who is this man that walked the earth? Who is this person that started this new religion called Christianity? And the most prominent answer that most people will give is that he is a Savior. Who is Jesus? He's a Savior. So he has saved us from something. We ask the question, who is Jesus? He's someone who has saved us from something. He acts as a Savior of something that we couldn't save ourselves from, and so we needed someone or something to save us, and we point to Jesus and we say, that is the person that saved us. He's also the Son of God. Now, that's a very theological term. If we want to just dive into this just for a little second, we won't stay here too long, but within Christianity, we have what's called the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are the three things the three aspects of God, or the three ways that we experience God. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. A lot of times you hear us in our prayers, we say, Holy Spirit, guide us. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray to God. That's three ways that we as humans experience the God that we worship. And we say, God, Jesus is the Son of God. That means we're saying that He is God. There's no difference then between Him and God, that they are the same thing, the same being, the same person. So, okay, there's a lot there. We could spend months talking about the Trinity, but we'll stop there. Another one, He's the head of the church. This is one that I think we should remind ourselves often. We can't remind ourselves of it often enough. The Pope isn't really the head of the Catholic Church, and Urban Stutzman isn't the head of the Mennonite Church. Jesus is the head of all denominations, of all Christians, of all churches. And we often get into debates. We start thinking about what's the right belief, what should we do, how should the church go, and we dive into these details, and we so often forget that Jesus is the head of the church. And we need to continue to look to Him for our direction of where the church should be going, how the church should be believing, how the church should be acting and treating each other and treating others. We need to look to Christ because He is our head. That would solve a lot of debates, I think. Here's another term that's in our confession of faith. He is the Lamb that was slain. I think that one you need to have a little history to understand what's it saying. Okay, Jesus was a lamb, a little cute little thing. Now, it's a term that if you look back into the Old Testament, there's prophecies about the Messiah would be like a lamb that has gone to the slain, the suffering servant, one that would die for His people. And so this points back to the Savior that we started with. He is the Lamb that was slain. He died for our sins. He was like a lamb led to slaughter. He didn't put up a fight. He didn't say no. He willingly died for us. Going hand in hand with that, He's also the Messiah. In the Jewish religion, they're always having that expectation that there would be one that comes, one that is a Savior, one that would rescue His people, one that would take the Jewish faith and fulfill it. And as Christians, when we answer the question, who is Jesus, we always say, He is the Messiah. He is the one that did come. He is the one that has come, the one that is the fulfillment of all those prophecies. He is the Messiah. He's also a prophet. He's also a teacher. Last week we looked at the Sermon on the Mount, probably his biggest teaching, the most popular teaching that Jesus has, and that's what we looked at last week. He was a teacher. He is the high priest. Again, that's a term from the Old Testament, and I won't go into explaining that one as much. We also see He's the king. We hear this a lot of times at Christmas. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the king. You know, that should be kind of easier for us to understand. You know, we understand political power. We don't live in a monarchy, but when you say king, most of us know what a king is. I mean, that's like the person with ultimate authority. When we say Jesus is a king, He is a king in the truest sense. He has the ultimate authority. The Bible says the day will come when every knee will bow to Jesus, and everyone will recognize the king that He is and the authority and the power that He has. Right now, in our day and age, not everyone recognizes that. But we, as Christians, do recognize that, and we say Jesus is a king. He is the King. And the last two points, again, are a bit theological, but it's important for us to understand. Jesus was fully human. There's been tons of debate about this throughout the centuries and the millennia of what Jesus was. Was He kind of like an angel, or was He kind of a ghost, or was He just a mythical figure? Was He real? Was He a real human being? And we as Christians say emphatically, yes, He was a real human being. He was born of a woman. He lived. He breathed our oxygen. We have accounts in the New Testament. He was hungry. He was tired. He got upset. He got frustrated. He experienced joy. He experienced sorrow. Everything that means to be a human being, the good, the bad, and the ugly, Jesus experienced that. Except for one thing. There's one thing that He didn't experience as part of being human that we didn't, and that's what makes Him God, is that He was also perfect. He was divine, and He did not experience sin or the guilt that comes with it. Jesus was fully human and had the whole gamut of human emotions and experience. But He was also fully God, and He did not experience the sin that we experience and all that goes with it. So that's a lot of information thrown at you, and there's a lot more where this came from. And if you're interested in reading about it, a good place to start is the Confession of Faith. These are just bullet points, and it's an article written about Jesus. That's who Jesus is. That's our answer. When someone asks, who is Jesus? This is our answer that we give. Whether it's your answer or not, that's the church's answer. This is what we say. This is what we as a denomination believe. This is who Jesus is. So the next question then is, well, how do we know all those things? Those are some pretty grandiose claims. Those are some pretty bold statements to say, you know, he is the king of the universe. He is God. He was a man and God. He's part of the Trinity. You know, those are some pretty big statements to say. How do we know all that is true? And there are plenty of people who would counter us on it and say, yeah, I know you as a church believe that. I know you as a Christian say those things. But how can you know that's true? How do you know all those different things are true about Jesus? How do you know? How do we know? There's a lot of people, well, pretty much everyone in the world who is logical will not argue with you that Jesus existed. You know, there's no one that will say, well, there might be someone, but, you know, there's not people that are saying Jesus did not exist. You know, the whole Christian religion is just a myth because Jesus never actually existed. He was never there. He never walked the earth. No one denies that. Everyone accepts that Jesus existed. Everyone accepts that in Palestine, 2,000 years ago, there was a man that existed. He was a teacher. He started a movement. His name was Jesus, and he was killed by the Romans. You know, nobody is denying that. And many people are readily quick to say, yeah, he was a great teacher. He was probably one of the greatest teachers in human history. He has probably the biggest influence of all humanity. You know, his moral attributes were probably the highest of anyone that's ever lived. Jesus might have been the best human that ever walked this earth. And people probably won't argue with us on that. But well, they will argue as we get into all the stuff with saying, well, he was God. He is God. He's the Savior. He's all these other things. No. That's not true. He was just a good teacher, a great teacher, maybe the best teacher that lived 2,000 years ago, and he started this movement. But to say he's God, that doesn't make sense. It's illogical. It can't be possible. So what I want to do here is just a quick, again, there's volumes written about how to prove that what we believe as Christians is true. But I just want to do a quick, and I think one of the simplest and easiest ways to understand a little bit of the proof that we have in believing that what our answer to Jesus, who Jesus is true. And this was started and made famous by an author named C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was a British guy that lived about 50 years ago, and he wrote many, many books. Brilliant guy. And what he made famous was this idea of way of proving that what Jesus said about himself was true. It's called the trilemma. The trilemma. So you have a dilemma where there's two opposing viewpoints. Well, this is a trilemma. And this is basically the nuts and bolts of what C.S. Lewis said. And it's a helpful thing to think about. And again, if this kind of scratches your itch, you're like, man, that's interesting. There's a lot more of this type of material you can read about if you have interest. You know, I can give you some of it. But the trilemma says, C.S. Lewis says, okay, so you're ready to admit that Jesus existed. You're ready to admit that Jesus was a good teacher. And you're ready to admit that Jesus was this morally upright person. But you're not willing to admit that he was God. Well, let's examine your beliefs on this topic and see what it says. Because, okay, if you say Jesus was a great religious teacher, most every religious teacher in the world does one thing. They point to God. Me as a pastor could be qualified as a religious teacher. My job, per se, is to take you guys and point you towards God. You know, if I'm doing my job right, I'm hopefully challenging you guys to think about your relationship with God. That's my role as a pastor. I point you to God. All the religious teachers in the history of the world, whether it's from the Jewish tradition or Islamic tradition or Christian tradition, they point to God. Jesus is different because he pointed to himself. And Jesus' great teachings, now people say he was a good teacher, these good teachings that Jesus gave, he pointed to himself. If you look in the Bible, there's these tons of these statements where Jesus says something along the lines of, I am the good shepherd. We looked at that last week during Irene's funeral. Where he says, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the gate, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All these things, he says, I am this. So if you look at Jesus' teachings, he taught that he himself was God. that he was the way to God. And he was the thing that every human being was desiring and longing and seeking for. He says, I am the bread of life. I am what you are hungering for. I am living water. I am what you are thirsting for. And if you don't drink of me, you will continually and eternally be thirsty for something else. He pointed to himself. Jesus' teachings were centered on him because he himself was God. Now, let's go back to the trilemma. If you say Jesus existed, and you say Jesus was a good teacher, then you're faced with three options. One option in the trilemma is that Jesus was a liar. Okay? If you say Jesus existed, and you look at his teachings, you have an option. And option one is to say he was a liar. That all that stuff he was saying about himself was just a lie. He was making it up. He was just a big con man. He was pulling the wool over everyone's eyes, and it's just not true. He wasn't the bread of life. He wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't the King of Kings. He wasn't the Savior of the world. He wasn't the way, the truth, and the life. That was all just a lie. That's one option, because that's what Jesus said. He existed. He spoke, and his words were written down, and we can read them. And so if you say he's not God, then one option is, well, he was just a liar. Most people don't say one of the greatest teachers in the world is just a straight-up liar. And all the teachings he said were lies. You know, if you're going to say he's a good teacher, you can't just say that because, according to your theory, all the things he said were lies. Because he taught about himself. So that's one option in the trilemma. A second option is, well, he's a lunatic. He's just crazy. You know, he said all these things, and yeah, he might not have been quote unquote lying because he believed them himself. He might have actually believed he was the Son of God. He might have actually believed he was the bread of life. He might have actually believed he was the way, the truth, and the life. But there's a lot of crazy people out there that believe things about themselves that aren't true. Now, you can go to any psych ward across the country or around the world, and you'll come into contact with people who say, oh, I'm God. You say, well, yeah, you're crazy. You know? That's nothing new. You know, there's crazy people all over the place. So a second option is, yeah, Jesus believed all these things himself. He might not have been lying because he didn't know he was lying, but he's just crazy. All the things he said were crazy. And a third option then is that he is the Lord. That what he says is true. That he says who he says he is. He is who he says he is. So this is the trilemma that C.S. Lewis lays out. For people who would say, yes, Jesus existed, yes, he was a teacher, well, then you need to come to terms with his teachings. Because what he taught was pretty clear that he himself was God, that he was the Son of God, and that's how he saw himself. So if you're going to claim or acknowledge that Jesus existed and acknowledge that he was a good teacher, that means you have three options. You're either calling him a liar, you're calling him crazy, or you're saying, yes, he was the Son of God. How do we know who Jesus is? We can look at what he taught and look at the three options. Was he crazy? Was he a liar? Was he telling the truth? And we as Christians say, yes, he was telling the truth. And we can give testimony to that through our lives, is that Jesus is alive and real and wasn't just a guy that lived a couple thousand years ago, but that he is active in my life. I can give testimony to that. I can witness to that fact. Now, I'll just give a little plug here. This is not the whole thing, but the Alpha course on Wednesday is also entitled, Who is Jesus? And the speaker, he goes into much more detail about the apologetics. Apologetics is basically defending the faith. And he goes into much more detail about how Christians can claim who Jesus is and the truth that they have. This is just, the trilemma here is just one thing. He talks about many other things. So again, if this scratches your itch, Wednesday at 6:30, we'll be here. You're welcome to join us. So what does all this mean? What does this mean? If Jesus says that he is God, and he is who he says he is, and that we as Christians believe this, and we as Christians can believe this with confidence, what does it mean? Well, last week we asked the question, what if Jesus meant what he said when he gave the Sermon on the Mount? And this morning we say, what if Jesus is who he says he is? And I would propose to you that if Jesus is who he says he is, if he is God, the Son of God, our King. If he did mean what he said, and he said what he meant, that means you are who he says you are. We are who he says we are. And I think that's a message that we need to tell ourselves over and over and over again. That you are who Jesus says you are. You are not who your friends say you are. You are not who your enemies say you are. You are not what your sins say you are. You are not your failures. You are not defined by your successes. You are not defined by your family or lack of family. You are not defined by the church you attend or church you don't attend. You are defined by Jesus Christ Himself. And He says the same thing to each and every one of us, regardless of where we've come from. He looks at us as He looked at many people when He was walking here on earth. And He looks at us and He says, "You're a sinner, but you're also my child. You are my child, and I love you. And when I see you, I like what I see. I love you as a child, and I'm willing to forgive your sins, overlook the things that you've done, forgive them, and welcome you into my family as a child." And we need to tell ourselves that message over and over and over again, that we are a son and a daughter of the one true King, of Jesus Christ Himself. And that is our identity. Because the second we stop telling ourselves that, someone else is going to tell us who we are. And whatever that other person, or that other group, or maybe it's ourselves, whatever we're telling ourselves that we are is a lie. And that lie is really easy to believe. But we need to say over and over and over again, "I am a son or I'm a daughter of Jesus Christ. And He defines who I am." Let's pray. Dear God, we hear all the messages. We tell ourselves things that aren't true. We hear other people telling us things. Lord, we're being bombarded with things that aren't true. But Lord, we know the truth is that we're all sinners and not worthy of being part of your family. But we know that you have looked at us and said, despite not being worthy, you still love us. And you love us enough to forgive us and welcome us into your fold. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. And I pray that we can continually hear that message and not just hear it, but live it out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's stand and close with "Let It Be Said of Us."